Preacher pulled the boy up from the water. Alleluias rose from the bank. There was a new suit of clothes from his father and a prayer of thanks. The boy walked barefooted all the way home for dinner. And when they laughed at his muddy feet, he said, I've been through the water and I've come out clean. I've got new clothes to cover me. And you don't wear your old shoes on your brand new feet when you've been through the water. I've been through the water and I've come out clean. I've got new clothes to cover me. That's what happens in baptism. We get new clothes. According to the command and institution of our Lord, water is connected with his word, and the resulting baptism accomplishes in us a washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit. We are born again. We are born anew. All our sins are washed away, and we are covered in the sacrificial blood of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And from then on, when God looks at us, he doesn't see our sins, and he doesn't see our stains, and he doesn't see our natural corruption anymore. He just sees us all dressed up in Jesus. New clothes. That's what we get in baptism. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, the Bible says. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. I've been through the water and I've come out clean. I've got new clothes to cover me. Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are, my glorious dress. All of which causes Martin Luther to wax eloquent in the large catechism. No greater jewel, he proclaims. No greater jewel, therefore, can adorn our body and soul than baptism. For through it we become completely holy and blessed, which no other kind of life and no work on earth can acquire. We've been through the water. We've come out clean. We've got new clothes. New clothes that we are to wear all the time. For as all of you future preachers have learned, there's a battle going on here. A battle between the old man and the new man in each of us. A battle between our old sinful flesh and the Spirit of God. We wear the new clothes of Christ on the outside, but deep down in here, we all know that there's this old creature, a powerful enemy that's warring against everything that is good and right and pleasing in God's sight. The question is, how can baptism, a one-time, long-ago, and oft-forgotten event, help us with this battle, especially when our enemies of devil, world, and flesh are so dangerously active and alive and in our faces all the time? John Ortberg tells a story about a zoo worker named Gary Richmond. The zoo that Richmond worked at had a 13-foot-long king cobra. Its venom glands contained enough poison to kill 1,000 adults. The cobra had a scar on him that made him look like the embodiment of evil. But worse, it meant that when the snake shed its skin, the eye cap didn't come off. It had to be removed by hand. Unfortunately, snakes don't have hands. This required a team of 5 people, 2 keepers, a curator, a vet, and Gary Richmond, whose job it was to furnish the scalpel and the sponge to the vet. The cobra slithered from its dead, then spread its hood, raised itself to full stature, and looked at the five intruders, deciding which one to kill first. He chose the curator. But with lightning speed, the keepers threw their nets around the writhing snake. The curator grasped it behind the venom glands, and the vet said, "Let's get over with this." His hands were trembling. Beads of sweat were dripping off of everyone's foreheads, except, of course, the snake. The curator asked Richmond if he had any cuts on his hands. After thinking about it, he said, "No." He was then told to wad up paper towels and stuff them in the cobra's mouth. "Okay." It was then that the cobra bit and chewed until the towels were yellow and dripping with venom. "Every year, several full-grown elephants die from king cobra bites," the curator explained. "A man could never survive a bite with a full load of venom. This is why he was having Richmond drain the snake's venom sacs." The curator's hands were sweating, his muscles were weakening, and his fingers were starting to cramp. This wasn't good news for anybody except the snake. He wasn't sure if they could move quickly enough when it was time for the release. And then he explained to all of them what we might call the secret of the snake. "More people are bitten trying to let go of snakes than when they grab them. More people are bitten trying to let go of snakes than when they grab them." Did you catch that? Easy to grab, hard to let go. This is also true of the sin that seeks to destroy us. Deceit, bitterness, pornography, pride, greed, gossip, debt, alcoholism, workaholism, the devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh work to get us addicted to these things. And as we go through life struggling with them and against them, we do indeed learn that they are easier to grab and hard to let go. And we get bitten. And we despair that we will never be able to survive them, to get away from them, or to be free of them. But let me ask you something. Are you baptized? It's an important question, you know, because baptism remains forever. Even when we fall into sin, we always have access to it so that we may once again subdue the old creature and kill it. Though your sins are as scarlet, though they be red as crimson, remember that you are baptized. You are clothed in Christ. You are clothed for life. And you can always come back. You can always come back. You can always come back to Him. So it is that along with Luther, we humbly and sincerely admit, "I know full well that I cannot do a single thing that is pure, but I am baptized. And through my baptism, God, who cannot lie, has bound himself in a covenant with me. He will not count my sin against me, but he will slay it and blot it out." Preacher turned them around at the altar, pronounced the boy and his girl man and wife. In 2 years they were mother and father, and they built them a life. His old girlfriend saw a moment of weakness, and she said, "If you're lonely, come see me sometime." He said, "I've been through the water, and I've come out clean. I've got new clothes to cover me. Don't wear your old shoes on your brand new feet when you've been through the water. That's what happens in baptism. We get new clothes. We are clothed for new life in God's kingdom. We are clothed for this life and all the battles we must wage against sin here and now. And we are clothed for eternal life, which is certainly still to come. Therefore, in the words of the Large Catechism, let all Christians regard their baptism as a daily garment that they are to wear all the time. Every day they should be found in faith and with its fruits, suppressing the old creature and growing up in the new. If we want to be Christians, we must practice the work that makes us Christians and let those who fall away return to it. As Christ, the mercy seat, does not withdraw from us or forbid us to return to him, even though we sin, so all his treasures and gifts remain. As we have once obtained forgiveness of sins in baptism, so forgiveness remains day by day as long as we live. That is, as long as we carry the old creature around our necks. Thus, we see what a great and excellent thing baptism is, which snatches us from the jaws of the devil and makes us God's own, overcomes and takes away sin and daily strengthens the new person, and always endures and always remains until we pass out of this ministry, out of this misery, into eternal glory. He baits a hook with his grandson of 7. Says someday soon, I'll be free of this pain. The boy asks if he's ever been to heaven. He says no, but I'm sure I know the way, 'cause I've been through the water and I've come out clean. I've got new clothes to cover me. And you don't wear your old shoes on your brand new feet when you've been through the water. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.